приветствую святых мастер, святолпа, моего восьмого отряда, моего другого писа, когда не надо спит, он один офенсив рим корректор, он не подскажет. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Nanajana Salakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Tadamayam Vadati Swapadantitam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Satrajatam Sajana Raghuna Tavitantam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sajana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitam Sacha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Kopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosate Tatta Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Vrindavane Shri Vrishabhanu Sude Devi Pranamami Harishye Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratushe Namaha Vancha Kalpataru Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyayegacha Krita Nam Pavane Vyo Vaishnave Vyo Namo Namaha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tinam Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Prachane Krishna Shunyavadi Pashyata Deshakarane Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaurav Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna. So looking at verse 6 and 7 today.
Naham Veda Param Yasmin Na Param Na Samam Vibho Nama Rupa Gune Bhavyam Sada Satchin Chidanyataha.
Whatever we can understand by the nomenclature, characteristics and features of a particular thing, superior, inferior, equal, eternal or temporary, is not created from any source other than that of the Lordship, though so great.
So this beautiful set of verses that we have been saying for the last few weeks, Narada Muni is inquiring from Lord Brahma on the process of creation. In fact, even before this chapter started, the whole series of verses in the previous chapter also very wonderful. It all started with Parikshit Maharaj asking Sukadev Goswami on the matter of creation, how this whole material creation came into being. So instead of jumping directly and answering, see, Sukadev Goswami first offered, you know, all his obeisances and respects, you know, choice prayers, and we've seen beautiful prayers in the previous chapter, glorifying Krishna. And even at the start of this chapter, he didn't start responding. He referred to the response, the conversation between Narada Muni and Brahmaji. So this is the right way to, you know, honor the parampara system. This is the right way to respect the disciple succession, not that you come in between and start giving answers. So Sukadev Goswami, Jaya Mahajan, and all Narada Muni, Brahmaji, they're all showing us the way and how we must, what is the mood to ask or inquire about or ask questions from superiors or authorities. So all along these verses, we see how Narada Muni is actually asking Brahmaji. He's starting from very basic, he's observing the creation and he's asking how this came about, how you've done this. So this is how he's logically progressing. You know? He didn't start speculating that, no, maybe it's like that, maybe it's like this. So he immediately placed his inquiries before Brahmaji. So this also is for us to learn, you know, how we must inquire, what mood we must inquire or ask. Inquiries which on which we don't have any understanding actually. All these subject matters are actually transcendental subject matters, and we being minute entities and we are trapped in this material world, we have absolutely no capacity to understand these even material subject matters we don't understand properly. So there is a question of spiritual matters. So all these conversations, everything is actually the evidence of parampara system is very obvious in this. So it's for us to observe and learn how we must inquire from a superior and what mood submissive. That's why Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that Vidhi Pranipatena Pariprashtena Sevaya Upadekshanti Te Jnanam Jnaninas Tattva Darshana. You must inquire very submissively in the mood of service, only then all this knowledge is revealed. Actually the process that we are normally accustomed to is the process of induction and deduction. You know, we always try to analyze top down, bottom up, and different approaches we have. You know? So we always try to analyze using our limited skills. And if you look at the entities around you, even an ant, or that day Maharaj was saying so nicely, Atmanirbhar Maharaj, even an ant is more organized than us. So, I mean, even in this given conditions that we are used to, we have very limited capabilities. No, we cannot hear beyond a certain decibel level, or we cannot see what is around the corner of that wall. It's only very limited capacity we have. So with this we try to understand the unlimited. It's a paradox, you know, it's just not possible. But because we are conditioned to use our mind and everything, we simply cannot accept the fact that we must inquire submissively. That's why we see the material scientists and all the philosophers, they keep speculating endlessly, you know, without any benefit. I mean, the usual thing is about the creation. I mean, they say Big Bang, no? Big Bang theory is very, that's what we are used to right from childhood when we learned in education, Big Bang theory, and we accepted it as true. Even now, I mean, we find it difficult to accept the Vedic version sometimes. So, Prabhupada is saying, and his disciples in various conversations that, I mean, all this theory itself, you know, Big Bang theory itself doesn't have any material backing, or no physical or no mathematical backing is there. You know? They say that it came about from infinitesimal size and infinite density, infinite temperature. That state doesn't exist at all. I mean, nobody has any experience of such a state. It cannot be explained. Any mathematical model or whatever capacities or skills you have, you cannot explain this state of being. So from this state, how can some, all these varieties, multiple, all many entities, beautiful creation with so many variegatedness came about? This cannot be explained. They say that, you know, just an explosion took place and but somebody must have exploded. No, we don't have experience of any explosion that happens and we say, oh, it happened by chance. There's always a cause behind that. So that's why they don't go beyond what is called the immediate cause and the remote cause. You know, this concept is there. So you always look at the immediate cause. You know, for example, they say life came from chemicals. But somebody must have produced the chemicals. You know, chemicals cannot come just like that. You know? Somebody must have provided the chemicals. They don't look at that. They don't go beyond the immediate cause and see. Narada Muni is showing here, you know. He saw the creation, he thought Brahmaji was the creator. But he was constantly inquiring further, but in a very submissive mood, not a challenging mood. That, you know, oh, you are not the supreme, now let me go to the next person, not like that. He always respected the authority and he always asking very submissively from Brahmaji. And this way, this is the right way to receive knowledge, you know. You must always be below to receive the knowledge from top. In that mode. So all this knowledge is then revealed because the right system is the descending process. You know, ascending process we cannot understand anything. The right process is descending, so it should come from authorities. So it was Shruti Pramana. Even the Vedas are called Shruti. Shruti means hearing. Only through the process of hearing from authority who knows the perfect knowledge, because it is coming from parampara, right from the Lord Himself. So that is the perfect way to receive knowledge. Because we have, you know, we are qualified by the four defects, we have the four defects. So whatever we gain is also defective. Whatever knowledge we get is also defective and imperfect. Whereas if we receive from parampara who are perfect realized souls, then we have a hope to receive some knowledge. Because still, you know, our capacity is still limited. But because we receive the mercy, along with the knowledge we also receive the mercy. With that mercy we are able to understand to our capacity, whatever capacities we have. But Krishna will reveal whatever capacities. He knows what our position is and what our capacity is. So whatever we are supposed to know, we will know. In Bhagavad Gita, the 7th chapter, first 2 verses, Krishna is telling Arjuna, Maya Sakta Mana Partha Yoga Yunjan Madashaya Asam Shem Samagrama Yadad Nyasu Tat Shrunu. He says Tat Shrunu. It doesn't say, okay, I have spoken to Vivaswan 1,000,000, this is my conversation, take DVD or audio is there, you listen, go home and listen, and then you come back to me with whatever queries you have. He didn't say that. He said Tat Shrunu. You have to hear. He has repeated the same thing, but he's again telling, that's the only method. You have to hear from authority. And then he says the next verse, this, once you hear this, jnanam teham savijnanam idam vakshyami asheshatah yek jnatvana bhuyonet jnatavyam avishishate. Once you know this knowledge, nothing else remains to be known. Once you know Krishna, the Supreme Absolute Truth, everything else is part of it. For example, let's say we take cup of coffee, not the right example, but something I thought of. Cup of coffee has got milk, sugar, water, everything is there. So it's already included in that coffee. So when you drink coffee, everything is part of that. So just like that, once you understand Krishna, everything has, because the whole creation is coming from Him. His multifarious potencies, internal, external, marginal, is there everywhere. So whatever we know Krishna, everything is automatically known. And the right process is to receive from Parampara through the medium of hearing. And Prabhupada nicely writes that it's oral reception. It doesn't say hearing. Hearing is a very common term that we use every day, so we don't really appreciate that. So that's why Prabhupada uses oral reception. Oral reception means lovingly receiving in a submissive mood. That is the right method of receiving transcendental knowledge. So in this particular verse, verse 6, Narada Muni is continuing his inquiries. You know, earlier on he compared Brahmaji to the sun, that he is self-sufficient. Then the network spider, how the spider webs his network independently without any help. In this way also, in this verse also, he is saying all the nomenclatures, all the variegatedness that we see around, everything is coming from Brahmaji. That's what he thought. He knows, but the Lord has put him in this position so that we can understand, you know, what is the right method to inquire. He's a pure devotee, he knows. But sometimes the Lord puts us devotees in a temporary illusion just that, so that he could impart the knowledge to people like us, that we can understand. So similarly, Narada Muni was also in that position and he was inquiring. And one thing we should understand from this verse is that he's saying nomenclature characteristics. So this implies variety, you know, variegatedness, and so much of variety. So this itself shows that the cause must also be having a lot of variety. It is not formless or featureless. It's, you know, if the effect is so good, then how much good the cause must be. But this we never understand. We never appreciate this fact. If you see the wonderful creation, then we must know how much more wonderful the Creator must be for having created this. So that's how we must try to, this is the right use of intelligence, you know, rather than accepting whatever has been told to us by living entities who are themselves imperfect. We cannot really appreciate, we should not stop at that. We should always go beyond and inquire submissively from authorities through scriptures and, you know, sadhus and we associate with. So they tell us that this is the right knowledge. And secondly also that anything that has got characteristics, features, has to be personal, you know, it can't be impersonal. So this also proves that the Creator is personal. In this particular case, Narada Muni understood that Brahmaji was the Creator. So Brahmaji is also a person. And subsequently we see that how he understands that there is someone beyond Brahmaji. So this still proves that the Creator is personal. It's not an impersonal concept that we normally are used to. Even in my office, when I talk to people, they say, I don't accept that the God has formed. But he accepts that there is a higher intelligence. I mean, you, with our intelligence, we have forms, then how a higher intelligence cannot have form? This is so easy to understand. But people are so conditioned. It's because, you know, we use our minds. The mind is the material creation. It can never lead you to spiritual. It will always misdirect you and take you to some material things only, where, you know, we are convinced that, okay, this is the end of it. That's why when Arjuna asked Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, second chapter, then how to understand the transcendental process, Krishna says in the very first reply, Prajahati yada kaman, I mean, live out everything that is mental concoction. Sarvan partha manogatan. Manogatan is mental concoction. You forget about, I mean, leave aside all the mental concoctions and just hear from me the knowledge. That's right. From the moment you start thinking, Guru Maharaj says that moment they say, I think, is your gone. The moment you start using your mind to think, mind is material, it will only take you to material things. So we have to keep it aside. So because we have intelligence, which is higher than the mind, so we should train our intelligence. Prabhupada very nicely writes in the third chapter, I think the last verse, it says, deliberate spiritual intelligence. Which means, if it doesn't use the word deliberate, we'll be just driven by the mind. No? So we have to deliberately train our, use our intelligence to train our mind. That, you know, we have to go to the spiritual things. Prabhupada also writes in one of the purports that we must change the temper of the mind. You know? Beautifully uses the word temper. Because mind is material, so we have to change the temper of the mind from matter to spirit. Through the process of all this devotional service that He has given us. Otherwise the mind will only concoct, and with concoctions, concoction actually is based on all our desires that we are carrying from, baggage of desire that we are carrying from time immemorial. So because of that, all the concoctions are there, you know, because we want our own, the way we want to do things, our own way. We never try to accept authority or something that is coming from ultimate channel. So once we give up all this manogata, then only we come to the point of understanding what is transcendental knowledge, what is spiritual knowledge. So Prabhupada says that all this, the medium of hearing, as I mentioned earlier, is coming from spiritual vibrations. It is coming from Krishna himself. So Prabhupada writes that once you catch hold of the spiritual vibration, your spiritual life begins from that point. You know, the moment you catch a spiritual vibration, you are no more in the material plane. Somehow, it may take time, because of your own conditioning, it may take time. But once you take shelter of the spiritual vibration, eventually you will come to the transcendental platform. I mean, I can give a small example, you know. Those of you in India and studied in school, they may appreciate. So, when we, in the morning school assembly, we chant some verses sometimes. So, one of the verses that we usually chant is, Tamasima Jyotirgamaya. You would have heard. I have been chanting this verse from the time I was in kindergarten, 12, 13 years, day in, day out. But I never really bothered to understand what it is. But unknowingly, I was chanting some spiritual vibration. So it has its benefit. Prabhupada says that once you catch hold of spiritual vibration, it will certainly save you from all this material dirt. Some point of time or the other. Definitely. So that's the power of spiritual vibration. And this is through the medium of ears we get this. Hear it, and the spiritual vibration is permanent. It is not like a material vibration. As Daksha nicely prays in the Hamsabhuya prayers, no? All the problems that we have is because of mental concoction, because of the mental desires, mental vibrations, he says. Mental vibrations cause all the problems for us. Whereas if we take shelter of spiritual vibration, it will save us from all this anarthas. So in this verse, Narada Muni, as we saw, that he understood that he took it for granted, Prabhupada writes, that the source of generation, everything that is coming, the source is from his father, Brahmaji. And now we look at the next verse, very nicely there's a follow-up, and we understand how gradually he's progressing from one level of knowledge to the other. Yet we are moved to wonder about the existence of someone more powerful than you when we think of your great austerities and perfect discipline, although your good self is so powerful in the matter of creation. So here, Narada Muni saw that Brahmaji, through the mercy of the Lord Krishna, he saw that Brahmaji was also performing austerities. So, as Prabhupada nicely writes, God doesn't have to perform austerities. He is God himself. He doesn't become God one fine day by the process of austerities. He doesn't become God. He is God always, eternally. I remember this, when somebody mentioned, there was one person who was visiting different temples, and he saw different deities, and he saw some places where, you know, God is killing a demon with a spear and all that. And like this, different places, he saw different activities being performed by the God. And one temple he came, he just saw the Lord is playing a flute and enjoying the company of all his associates. So then he understood this is God, you know. God means he doesn't have to do anything. He has to simply sit and enjoy. And all his potencies take care of everything. All the energies of the Lord take care of everything. He doesn't have to personally endeavor like us. So here Narada Muni saw Brahmaji was actually performing austerities. So he understood that there must be somebody more supreme. Otherwise, supreme doesn't worship anyone. There must be somebody more higher than Brahmaji. So this way, he was able to... And the moment he realized that, you know, he didn't drop Brahmaji and said, okay, let me move aside, you know. Let me, now that I'm done with you, let me go beyond you and see. No. He always respected the line. That is what we have to learn. We can never bypass authority and try to cross the line, as you say. We have to always be under the shelter of spiritual master and sadhus. We can never really approach, because we don't have the capacity to cross the line and go, you know. We have to receive the knowledge from the parampara. The moment we cross the line, then we will be taken over by concoctions. Then our mind will start playing tricks. As long as we are in the line, we are protected, because we receive knowledge, spiritual vibrations, it will protect us from all material things. The moment we cross the line, we are entrapped again. So this is what we must learn from the example of Narada Muni. So Narada Muni is inquiring submissively. Again, he continued his submissive inquiries. And he placed the matter before Brahmaji, saying that, you see, you have moved to wonder that you are still performing austerities. So please tell me, what is the origin? What is the source of all this creation? He placed his matter before Brahmaji in the right mood. So, to understand, as I said earlier, the remote cause and immediate cause, some examples Prabhupada gives, you know, for us to understand, because this concept is not very easily understood by people like us, you know, where we are used to material things, thinking. So So Prabhupada gives the example of this potter and wheel. So the potter makes the wheel using the earth. So all the ingredients that go into the wheel are the immediate cause. Because all the ingredients, the earth and the other water and everything that is mixed together that makes the pot, that is the immediate cause. But the potter is the remote cause. It's the potter who actually mixes everything together. So we should understand that he is the remote cause of the pot. Like this, we should try to understand, go beyond what we see and try to inquire and see what is the ultimate cause or the remote cause of anything. Ultimately, everything comes from Krishna, Sarva Karana Karanam. If I take the example of this book, for example, we say that the immediate cause is the publisher. You know, we gathered everything and we published the book. But what is the actual source? He didn't produce the paper. So he just got everything together, assembled and published his book. But we actually trace back the origin of this book. You see the tree comes from the seed. And who gives the seed? Krishna gives the seed. He says in Bhagavad Gita, Bijam Man Sarva Bhutana. All the living entities, seeds are placed by me in the womb of material nature. So ultimately we should trace back and we should reach Krishna. We should ultimately reach Krishna. This is what is called Brahma Samsparshan, you know, transcendental contact with the Supreme. Everything we should be able to see Krishna in everything. As devotees, we should always try to see the hand of Krishna in everything. Because even if it is external energy or internal energy, whatever it is, everything is ultimately coming from Krishna. So Brahmaji says in after all his tapas, he actually compiled the Brahma Samhita prayers, which nicely says the very first verse is Sarva Karana Karanam Ishvara Paramam Krishna Sachidananda Vidaha Anadi Radhe Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. He is the cause of all causes, period. Nothing, the buck stops with him, you know, nothing to go beyond Krishna. He is the ultimate cause. Prabhupada also gives very nice examples, the example of nipples on the goat's neck. When we see nipples on the goat's neck, we think that it's a source of milk. But it's actually, there's no milk. Actual milk is coming from the cow and Krishna gives the potency to produce milk. So we should not be actually looking at all this. All this coming from concoctions. Everything is coming from mental concoctions. So we should go beyond this and try to inquire submissively from higher authorities and try to understand the real knowledge. Rupa uses this word Ahangraho Pasita. So as I mentioned briefly, Supreme God doesn't need to worship anyone. He is the Supreme. So whereas Brahmaji was actually offering prayers here, and that's how Narada Muni understood that there is someone beyond Brahmaji. So Prabhupada writes, Narada Muni thought of Brahmaji as a supreme person, but when he saw Brahmaji engaged in the process of transcendental realization, doubts arose in him, so he wanted to be clearly informed. There's one nice pastime or anecdote which Devendra Prabhuji mentioned to me. This actually connects well with this verse that we're discussing. There's this simpleton, village simpleton, who has this desire to serve the greatest person. He wants to serve the greatest person. So within his setting, because he is living in a very simple village, the best person he could approach is the mayor of the village. So he approaches the mayor and he sees that you are so powerful, you are so great, I would like to serve you. So the mayor looks at his honesty and he says, okay, you come and start working for me. So he works for some time and then he sees one day that the taxman comes to the mayor's house to collect tax. So he's sitting and he's watching and so he's asking questions to the mayor and his mayor is giving answers and he finally pays a tax check. So after the taxman leaves, he asks the mayor, who is this person? So he's a taxman, you know, he's come to collect money from me, from the collection. So is he more powerful than you? So yes, he's more powerful than me. And he honestly says, and I would like to serve that person, you know, because he's more powerful than you, I would like to serve him. So he's very pleased with his honesty, the mayor. He says, okay, I'll go and recommend. I'll go and talk to the taxman and maybe he'll give you a job. So he goes to the taxman and he recommends. He says, okay, I'll have a vacancy so you can bring him. So this man goes there and he starts serving the taxman. After a while, he sees that the king and his, the viceroy of the king comes to discuss some matters with the taxman. So he asks a lot of questions of the taxman and then he goes back. So this man is watching all this. After they go, he asks the taxman, who are these people? You know, they are the viceroy of this. He's the viceroy of the king. So he asks, who is the king? The king is a supreme person in this land. So he understands, he thought all the while that this taxman is the supreme, you know, in this village. says, I would like to serve the king then. Please help me. So the mayor, looking at his honesty again, he goes and recommends to the viceroy and then to the king. And the king accepts him as a servant. Then some days pass like that. And then one day the king says to him, please arrange all the horses and everything. I want to take my entourage outside to the forest. There is a great sage who has come. The forest is meditating. I would like to go and take his blessings. So he goes. He also follows him. This man also follows him. He goes, and when he sees a sage sitting there doing meditation, and the king goes and offers obeisances, and he takes his blessings and asks a lot of questions and all the instructions he receives. So this man is watching from a side of the tree. He's watching all this. So after the king completes the conversation, he then goes and asks the sage. He must be a very great personality. You know? Why is he asking all this? He must be a great person. The king, I thought, is the supreme, and if he's asking you and bowing before you, you must be even greater than the king. So the sadhu, being a sadhu, he said, no, he's very humble. He said, I'm just a servant of the Lord. I don't have any capacity, I have nothing. So then he asked, who's the Lord? Because he's a very simple person. Who's the Lord? Then the sage tells him that there is a temple of Krishna temple here, just few yards away. You go there and you start praying to Krishna, then you'll know, understand everything. So he just follows the instruction. He goes there and he starts talking to the temple. The temple is already closed, you know, after the puja and arti and everything is closed. He tries knocking, nobody's opening, so he just lies down there only, just in front of the door. The morning, two people come, the pujari and all come, and they say that the blanket is covered with a blanket. The person is lying with a blanket covered. So the blanket is the Lord's blanket, you know. So the Lord himself protected this man who came. Very sincerely and very submissively he came to inquire about the supreme truth. So the Lord protected him, gave his mercy. So they understood that actually the Lord himself did, because nobody else could have done it, because the door was closed. So then he starts serving Krishna, and he is fixed in that position. So this is our position actually. We are supposed to be like that, you know? But instead we serve everyone and anyone. Not that we are not supposed to do our duties, but we should do with the right consciousness. But ultimately our aim is to serve the greatest person through the medium of parampara system by serving our spiritual master and devotees. That's the right method. So in this anecdote we see how nicely he was guided step by step to the ultimate truth. And you notice that at every point of time we never bypass the authority. Never bypass. Every time he placed the matter before the person whom he was serving, then he was guided to the next step. So this is the process that we must very, very carefully follow. This is actually a lesson for us. We must never bypass authority, because we don't have the capacity. So once Narada Muni understood the supremacy, that there is a supreme person beyond Brahmaji, same way we should also understand in our practical life that everything that we do, ultimately the cause is Krishna. We must never, if you see the hand of Krishna in every action and reaction that we see, then we should be normally very peaceful. We should not have any mental hesitation or concoction. But this way we connect to the spiritual vibration, you know, we will always protect us from these concoctions. So this verse is there in Bhagavad Gita 7:7, Mattah Parataram Nanyat. The Krishna says, there is no truth beyond me. So once we have full faith that Krishna is all in all, Vasudevam Sarvamiti Samahatma Sudhulubhaya. Once we understand that Krishna is all in all, then the only choice for us is to surrender. Surrender to the medium of spiritual master. How do we surrender? By following his instructions. The spiritual master gives instructions that you do the activities in this and this way. We simply follow, and that's the way of surrender. That's the way of right surrender. Once we are surrendered to the spiritual master, then Krishna will take care of us. As he says to Arjuna also, Mashuchara, don't worry. You are always protected. Otherwise, Prabhupada says that if you take the alternate route, what will happen? Bahunam Janmanam Ante. I mean, we may take many, many millions of lives, but ultimately we come to the same point. So what is intelligence? The right intelligence is to come to it straight away. Instead of going around about and finally coming to the same point, you might as well come to the same point straight away. So why go around? So this also actually is the mercy of the Lord. If he gives intelligence based on our endeavor, he will give the intelligence and he will direct us. But the endeavor rests with us. If we take shelter of our concoctions, mind, then we'll go astray. So once, by the mercy of the Lord, if we are able to, you know, accept the authority of someone, then he will direct us. As he is a super soul in the heart, he will direct us the right person. If he want to be cheated, he will send us to the cheat. So as the Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj said, the society of the cheaters and the cheated. There is one other nice anecdote which explains this chicken business. This one's a blacksmith. Actually not a blacksmith, he was a steel merchant. And very clever, very cunning. He always wanted to make money for every little thing, you know. Wherever there was possibility, he would try to make money. So he wanted to make a chopper for something. He wanted a chopper. So he went to the blacksmith and told him that you make a chopper for me, nice chopper. And he wanted to con him, he wanted to cheat him. And he said, okay, I will give. I am a steel merchant. For all your labor, you don't have. I don't pay you, but I'll give you the steel. I'll give you the steel. Using the steel, you make a chopper for me, so I don't have to pay you anything. He wanted to cheat him like that. And he had a lot of scrap steel in his yard. So he wanted to pick up some scrap steel and give it to him, and hoping that he would make a nice chopper out of it. So he gave a, through his son, he sent across a scrap steel. And the blacksmith, you know, he's his business, he knows, he can identify the material by seeing the raw material. No? He saw that it was scrap material. He said, okay, you give me scrap, I'll give you scrap. So he nicely made a chopper with the same material and gave it to him. And this man looked at it and said, what is this? It looks so rusty and scrap, you know. He said, you give me scrap, I'll give you scrap. No? Don't try to cheat me. I'm also the same business. So this way, if you try to cheat, others will be cheated. So Krishna knows our heart. If we don't have a sincere desire, if we have, you know, one leg here and one leg there, then he will make sure that he will take us to a person who will fulfill that desire. So this is what we understand from this. So we should leave out all these concoctions and simply take shelter of Krishna through the medium of spiritual master. So in conclusion, we see that ultimately Narada Muni here coming to the conclusion that the supreme cause beyond Brahmaji is there. And in subsequent verses he will be inquiring, and Brahmaji will nicely respond, who is the supreme? And this actually is very nicely given in the Chatushloka Bhagavatam also, the last verse particularly. What is the verse for you? Last one? Last Chatushloka. Etavadeva Jignyasam. Etavadeva Jignyasam. Tattva Jignyasam Atmana. So he says that all your inquiries, all your searching business stops here. This is the ultimate destination. So he's telling Brahmaji that nothing exists beyond me. I am the ultimate truth. So what we understand from this is we don't have to go anywhere else, but of course we can't approach Krishna directly. We don't have the capacity. So we have to accept through the medium of Guru, Shastra and Guru Shastra and Sadhu. We have to take shelter of the devotees, serve them nicely, and then this knowledge will be revealed to us. So that's why I say, Yasya Deve Para Bhaktir, Yatha Deve Tatha Guru. Tasseva Katita Hi Artaha, Prakashante Mahatmana. Simply by serving devotees, all the knowledge is revealed to us. And there's no other process actually. We don't have to do any endeavor. And other than serving sincerely and compulsively, all the knowledge will be revealed to us. So once we understand this knowledge, which is also the mercy of Krishna, otherwise we cannot understand all this. We are sitting and talking here. We will not be able to understand unless he gives the intelligence. And although I'm sitting here, actually what any spiritual vibration, as long as I don't talk nonsense, as long as I am talking from Shastra and whatever devotees have told me, it is actually coming from Krishna himself through the medium of Guru. The moment I cross the line and start thinking, then it is nonsense. The connection is cut immediately. So as long as you should be always protected under the shelter of scriptures, sadhu and Shastra. So in the same manner that Narada Muni is receiving knowledge from his father, we should also aspire to take shelter of spiritual master and receive all the knowledge and follow the instructions. That's more important. We have to follow the instructions as it is. We should not try to concoct. There also we may try to concoct. The mind tries to play tricks there also. Okay, now you have taken initiation, you are for devotional service nicely, you are away from the material dirt. Now you can do whatever you want, you know. So this concoction comes into the devotional service also. And then it is no more devotional service. Then the spiritual master gives instructions, you may say, okay, maybe he meant that, maybe he meant this. We start trying to interpret. And we try to take it whatever is convenient to us. That's not the way. That is also concoction. Just as it is. That's why Prabhupada has mentioned as it is every time. Not as it should have been or as it could have been. As it is. So we simply have to take as it is. Then the result will be there. So it all depends on our sincere endeavor. Once we endeavor sincerely, everything will automatically come. If you are not in devotional service, then as I said, you will be carried away with the mind. That's why Lord Rishabhdev very nicely says in the 5th canto, 5th chapter, Mahi Vasudeva, our mind should be focused on Vasudeva. Otherwise, it will be karmatmakam. In the sense, we will be again involved in all activities, routine activities. So the only way to change the temper of the mind from matter to spirit is by thinking of the Lord. And how do we think of the Lord? By hearing from sadhu, because sadhu doesn't do anything else other than talking about Krishna, his pastimes, his philosophy, nothing else. So we simply have to constantly expose our senses to these vibrations. So in the last Chatushabdi verse, Prabhupada in the purport nicely says that the final conclusion is that everyone in every condition should take a devotional service. No material qualifications or anything is required. Any condition, anywhere can take to devotional service. And the method has become very easy for us. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given a very easy method. We simply sit in the tree and chant, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Ram Hare Hare. And this conclusion is also nicely presented by Sukadeva Goswami to Parikshit Maharaj in the 2nd canto, 1st chapter, 11th verse. Etat nirvidya mananam ischatam akuto bhayam yoginam nirpan nirnitam hare namanu kirtanam. Whatever position you may be in, you may be full of desires, free of desires, you may have a lot of transcendental knowledge, you may be on the impersonal platform, or whatever position you may be in, only take shelter of the holy names. Hare namanu kirtanam, just follow. That's the only way for us in this in our condition of life. The only way for us is to take devotional service. Whatever else we may do, it will not lead us anywhere. So with this, I'd like to conclude here. Any corrections or comments, please ask.
Thank you very much, Prabhu, for the wonderful lecture. I had one question. You said that one should always respect the authority and never bypass the authority. Yes, in the spiritual world that is very true. And but how does one work on that in the material world as of today? Because if often you see characters who are trying, on the name of the authority, they try to take undue advantage of the situation and your humility. How to encounter that?
Well, that's a nice question. This is the thing that we face every day. What I understand, Prabhuji, is the moment we start taking defensive mechanism or try to counteract, it is also concoction. Because we are using our mind. As I said, the moment you start thinking how to counteract, how to plan things, all because of our material vibrations and mental concoctions. And also because we have some even objective behind that. There is an ulterior motive, though it may not be visible to us. There is some motive for which we are counteracting. So once we understand that we should not be desiring anything, all this that is happening to us is because of our past deeds. That famous verse, Tattenu Kampam Su Samikshamanam. It's a very high platform of thinking, but you should start practicing it even on a daily life, in day-to-day work. Whatever situations we have, difficult situations we are put into, is actually we should see that Krishna is testing us. How well we behave. Because, as my Guru Maharaj always says, that we can preach only once we imbibe the characteristics in ourselves, the culture in ourselves. So how we conduct outside and outside world, it's very easy to behave as devotees in the association of devotees. But once we step out of this place, in the office environment, or even at home for that matter, I'm a totally different person at home, even at office. So the way we behave, this shows how well we conduct ourselves as devotees. This is the way to attract other living entities to devotional service. Once they see that, okay, this person is very calm and quiet, is handling situations very well, and workplace, they will be attracted naturally. Because all these qualities, good qualities, attract others. So once we adopt this method, once we understand from the pages of Bhagavatam that all that is happening to us is because of our past misdeeds, and we don't blame anyone, it's all due to us only. So if you are put in a difficult situation, you have a very, rarely we find a good boss, always a difficult boss. We always try to agitate our mind. We should understand that it's all because of our activities. Maybe in the past life I would have troubled him like this. That's why I am put into this situation. So once we understand this way, we are safe, really safe. But it's difficult to practice, very easy to say, and difficult to practice. But at least constantly we must try to train our mind by deliberate spiritual intelligence, as Prabhupada said. So, is that okay, bro?
Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Very nice class. Actually, it's so nice, the class is linked to what we discussed yesterday. Madan Mohan Prabhu was talking about the variegatedness in the creation, and which we have to accept, you know, to understand the source, and then, you know, also develop equanimity towards all, you know, created beings. Prabhuji, just one question is about the I couldn't understand this Aham Graho Pasita and Aham Graho Pasana. I didn't really understand, Prabhuji, because here Prabhupada says Aham Graho Pasana may be one of the processes for transcendental realization, but Aham Graho Pasita can never be God Himself. So what is the difference, Prabhuji, between the two?
From what I saw in the purport only, Prabhupada says the Aham Graho Pasita explains the meaning as one who worships himself with the idea of becoming God himself. So Aham Graho Pasita means you are worshipping yourself. Upasana is worship. So one who tries to worship himself, or he thinks that he is God, he can never be God. Because Prabhupada writes that God never worships himself. God never worships anyone including himself. He makes it very clear. So that is Aham Graho Pasita. Aham Graho Pasana means like what Brahmaji did. Upasana, he is worshipping someone else through the process of transcendental realization. That, I think, that is the understanding I have. If anyone wants to add. Comments or suggestions?
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
This point, this 257 Prabhu, if we look at this line, one should not blindly accept his spiritual master as God himself. A spiritual master is duly respected on a par with God, but a spiritual master claiming to be God himself should at once be rejected. I remember once when I was speaking to Guru Maharaj, I asked him, because my nature is it's very passionate, emotional, very sentimental. So every time I run after Maharaj, I ask him a lot of questions. So there was this question I asked Maharaj, said, how should I relate to you, Maharaj? Because I always want to be with you. I mean, that's the desire. And Maharaj, in all his humility, he said that, don't keep running after me. You know, I've already told you what there is to know. Whatever I tell you, you just follow. And if you follow, you progress. So, as I walked out of the room, I understood that Maharaj, being very humble, we have to run after the spiritual master. But the gravity, if one was there present in front of Maharaj, then you can actually absorb that gravity. And in that gravity, there was truth. Even though there was humility in Maharaj, but he was speaking the truth. The fact is, many times we find why we do not progress in devotional service is because we are always caught up with the relative. The relative means that which is sentimental. Sentiment must be there. For some devotion to grow, some sentiment must be there. But why a living entity cannot follow the regulative principles and he cannot progress in devotional service, what he does in the temple, why a living entity cannot do within the four walls, is because of sentiment. Sometimes when we see that there are many devotees, Guru Maharaj is around, we are very inspired. But it's when we go home, if we cannot sustain the same energy, it is a fact. It's because of our conditioning we must accept. We cannot say that it's natural. If it's natural, if we really love Krishna and love spiritual master in the correct tattva, that means without sentiment,
then within the four walls we will do the same thing that we are doing in the temple. So that is why even from my point of view, I find that sometimes in temple I am very inspired, but when I go home to read one verse of Bhagavatam, I struggle. So it is because of the sentiment, and that's why Maharaj said that just remember the instructions. If you are sentimental about it, I give you the instruction, you take it and you follow it. Because at the time of death, if we are going to keep on the sentimental level, then we will be cheated, like you said. We will definitely be cheated. It is practical. Devotional service is real. Guru is real. Krishna is real. Just take it and move. If you just take it and you stay there and just keep hankering, then the disciple or the living entity will be hankering all his life. So that is why Prabhupada puts very, very clearly here. That is why if you see spiritual masters, they get transcendently irritated if you keep going to them and say, Maharaj, they are very humble. Because if they really are not bona fide, then what they would say is, come, because they want to be glorified. But our spiritual masters under the disciplic succession of Prabhupada, they are not non-bona fide. They are very bona fide. That is why if we become too sentimental, they check us. I was scolded by Maharaj for doing that actually. He said that, don't keep running after me. You know, this is not correct. And he got angry with that. And because he got angry with that, I could see that he is bona fide and what he is saying is actually true. And to some extent, from personal experience, if you just take 1% of that and not be sentimental and really do your devotional service, then you can get at least a tinge of self-satisfaction. Because that is what we are running after. So it will not depend on everyone and anyone else. And if you are sitting within the four walls, it's guaranteed that you will feel some self-satisfaction if you are not entirely sentimental in devotional service. Thank you.
Prabhu sharing this nice realization. This also shows from us that whatever Prabhu has spoken is there in Bhagavatam. And it is not, so Bhagavatam is a philosophy, is not just on the paper, it is actually in practice. And Prabhu very nicely described this experience, the realization. Thank you, Prabhu. I think we can end the discussion here. Rantrashila Bhagavatam ki, Shila Prabhupada ki, Shila Gurudev ki, both.